Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to this episode of the award-winning Best of the Left podcast. This is a sample of our recent bonus episode, usually only available to members. These episodes are comprised of our crew of researchers, Amanda and myself, all getting together for a roundtable discussion on topics that we find interesting. So here's a few minutes for free so you can know what all the fuss is about.
What I have felt for a while now, and this is, I'd say, over the last 10 years, is that the internet is not for me. Like, I don't feel ownership of it. I don't feel like it's a place I can participate. And I have absolutely significantly reduced my input into it. I still consume it, but I don't put stuff out there like I used to. And it's really just a lack of interest. Like, I'm not really interested anymore in being part of this. This crap culture does not appeal to me, and I don't, like, need to be a voice in it. Like, I used to, in the earlier days of feeling this way, I've still felt like, well, I want to, you know, stand with other people who are saying good things about civil rights and justice and whatever. I need to add to that chorus. And I'll be honest with you, I just don't feel like it's worth it anymore, which is unfortunate. And I just think there are other ways I should channel that energy. Now, that's just me, but I wonder how many other people feel that way too. They're just like, I don't want to do it on the internet. Maybe I'll try and do it in other ways, but I don't want to do it on the internet because this place is garbage. And it is garbage. And when I say it's not for me, I also mean it's not for women. Like, I absolutely resonated with a lot of what this article focused on in terms of the male dominance of the internet. Like, when Jay and I first met, like 10 years ago, I remember I had an idea for a YouTube channel, and we like toyed around with it. And I, like, you know, maybe like I think we filmed one thing. And then I started having like a panic attack about the idea of putting myself on the internet and what kind of horrific people would come to tear me down. And I was like, a woman on the internet? Like, I knew then that like, that is not what I want to be. Like, I'm amazed at those who do put things out there and just have to like go through the mental gymnastics of trying to tell themselves these are just trolls, these are just garbage people, you know, and get over it. So I don't feel like it's a place that I enjoy hanging out in, and I'm less and less engaged as years go on. How many others are like me? I don't know. Like, we've been hanging out recently with a fair number of people who are not on social media at all. And that's kind of refreshing because I haven't been around this many people who aren't really on it in a long time. And I think, you know, I haven't heard the deep details of why, but I would imagine there's some similar stuff there.
I had a funny idea about the internet when I was younger. I like to debate. So I was like, oh, the internet. Awesome. Like a place of people of different ideas who can discuss that. And then it's like, how many times can you get told to like take a dick out of your mouth or go suck on a dick before?
So much dick talk. Oh my God.
Not to be vulgar, but that is like 100% my experience, that anytime you articulate yourself and push back, it's literally the most stereotypical response that you can think of from a man.
Yeah.
I would echo your sentiment. I don't think the internet is a place for me. I consume it, but I do not actively participate in content creation, at least.
One of my favorite exchanges was I had what I thought was extremely civil conversation with someone that I did know in real life about paying minimum wage workers more. And it quickly devolved into him telling me that I have daddy issues and need a hug from my father, who he assumed was absent in my life. I mean, like, it Like, I could not believe how quickly we went there. I mean, that's the kind of shit that happens all the time. So it's not fun. Every time you want to put yourself out there, like Aaron said, like, you're just going to get a, just going to get a dick comment back. I mean, it's like, great. I'm so glad I expended the energy.
So, and I guess it's hard to know. Maybe we'll never know if the internet reflects the people who built it or if it reflects kind of largely what humanity is. And I think probably the answer is both, but I just wanted to read this. This is my favorite introductory paragraph of an article, like maybe of all time. I don't know. This is The Nerds Are Bullies Now, talking about Zuckerberg and Musk talking about having a fight with each other. And the introductory paragraph is, Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg, two computer geeks worth more than $300 billion put together, are posturing to fight each other in a mixed martial arts cage match. The dumb backstory. Facebook, which was Zuckerberg's follow-up to a girl-rating website started in his Harvard dorm room.
I love that one.
Has been building a competitor to Twitter, a website for yelling at people online that Musk, who once made his tunnel-digging company manufacture flamethrower-like devices, bought for $44 billion in a fit of pique last year. Then, a senior Meta executive implied that Musk's leadership of Twitter was, well, not sane, and Musk was like, emoji, the like laughing, sweating emoji. And then some tweep warned that Zuck does jujitsu now, and Musk went, I'm up for a cage match. And then Zuck agreed, or at least posted that he did on the internet. And that's number one, how the internet works. And number two, the people running the internet. So the answer to my own question about whether or not the horrors on the internet reflect either the people who helped build it or is a reflection of society, I definitely think it's both. But if better people were building the internet, they would put up guardrails to like force people to be better on the internet. And that's what we absolutely don't have, because the people who built the internet, I'm not the first one to say this, the people who built the internet are not generally the targets of horrific abuse.
Yeah.
And so they don't think to themselves, maybe we should build a system that limits horrific abuse.
Yeah. I mean, this article could have also been called Revenge of the Nerds. Like, this is the actual Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it really does. I mean, it goes into a fair amount of detail about I can't remember which one, either the ugly honesty of Elon Musk's Twitter rebrand or the one I just read the intro from, The Nerds Are Bullies Now. It, like, that is exactly what it goes into, is how, you know, nerddom used to be the underdogs, and the fantasy was that they would use technology to take over the world. And then they did, and like, good for them for overcoming the bullies. But like, now they're the bullies and we're living in their terrible culture, yeah, which is like not that much better than regular bully culture.
Well, as much as I think I feel like this is not a place for me, they feel like they own it. Like, they have real deep ownership of it, and you are in their space. And that is absolutely the framing, and it's getting worse. And I, you know, I kind of feel like there are little corners where women and marginalized communities can be that are better, but by and large, on the whole, yeah, we're living in their internet, and it's miserable.
I thought we might be able to stage a debate. I don't know who wants to take which side, but I thought the sides would be the Musk Zuckerberg fight is either probably the dumbest thing to ever happen, if it does happen. And the counter argument is that it's definitely the dumbest thing to ever happen. Does anyone want to argue either of those sides?
It's the most 2023 thing that's happened so far.
Yeah. Yeah. I said earlier, but I think I was talking over Jay. Unfortunately, this Gilded Age is not classy. Like, it is, it's really like gross. And I mean, it was gross then, but in a different way. Like, now it's just like objectively a dumpster fire. And in one of those articles I read recently, maybe it might have been BuzzFeed actually, about the cage match, it compared it to Celebrity Deathmatch, the claymation show on Comedy Central years ago. And I was like, right, this is real life Celebrity Deathmatch. This is amazing. Like, this is really some sort of peak something. I don't actually know what it is. It's peak something, that's for sure. I can't, it's like, it's such a mishmash of so many different things. It's hard to give it an exact name.
All right, hear me out. We just need to get a little publicity behind this, but maybe we just throw it out there that they should do this in space. I don't know.
No, who's with me? Absolutely.
Oh, I like that.
It's not interesting enough. Like, we definitely need to take it up a notch. Just
they all need to fight to see who's the best one. They all need to do it in space. They all should go to the bottom of the ocean. They all should, like, there's so many things we should have billionaires be competing to do for our entertainment.
I was
just
convinced.
Let the aliens know.
Yeah, right. Yeah, let them know. They're coming up there. If you want to take them, they're free grabs. That's, you know, it's a free grab. I have been hoping that it would get even grosser. And then the society would really start to freak out and fight back, because I thought Musk and Zuckerberg were going to hire proxies to do the fight for them. I never in a million years thought they would do it themselves. I thought they would absolutely hire proxy fighters.
Like Game of Thrones, like, have champions?
Yeah. Totally. I was like, that's what's going to happen. This is not going to be them. They're not going to do it. That's ridiculous. Like, absolutely. But so far, that has not been the case. We'll see. Still time.
But then no one would care at all, because it's already a consequence-free fight. It's like only if they had champions fighting for them, and then like whoever lost, you know, like lost their company or was beheaded or something, then it would matter.
Or their eyes punched.
And
in.
Again, I'm on board for that one. That one sounds great. A beheading, losing the company. I'd settle for losing the company if that was the consequence. But a beheading, I don't know.
I mean, we've tried everything else. Might as well go back to basics. Which I guess brings us to our next discussion, which is about how to avoid the horror show that is, I mean, basically it's the internet, but not necessarily exclusively. I actually was served a video, which honestly, it doesn't happen that much. I use one of those blockers so that YouTube like doesn't have a suggestion panel on it. So like, I only see a video if it, you know, if I go to it intentionally, most of the time, I guess. But this was one of those weird instances where maybe I wasn't using my normal device and was served one of these dopamine detox videos. And then like within a day, Time Magazine wrote, "The dopamine detox is having a moment." And I thought, oh yeah, I guess it is, because I usually only hear about things when it's really having a moment. And so the basic breakdown is that phones overstimulate our dopamine reward pathways. We know this. This is how the supercomputers and, you know, rooms full of geniuses work for billion-dollar companies to hack our reward pathways to make us use their apps as much as possible. And so the dopamine detox is a bit of a response to that. And it's like, you are being driven to do things that don't actually make you feel very satisfied. You're not actually happy when you get to the end of a YouTube rabbit hole that you never intended to go down in the first place. And so the dopamine detox trend, or whatever it turns out to be long term, is just encouraging people to pull back in a thoughtful way, try to reduce the amount of time we spend doing things that we don't actually like. You know, it's not that everything that gives you dopamine is bad, because like hanging out with your friends and having a conversation can give you dopamine. But the argument is to sort of reduce the hollow usually but not always internet-based sources of dopamine injections and replace them with something more fulfilling. And that seems reasonable. I think there's a lot of good things to be said about it. Of course, we are going to rain on that parade a little bit by the end, but before we do that, any thoughts in general on dopamine fasting?
I'm ready to tear it down a little bit, but I want to say, I like the intention. I think that the goal here is really important. I'm glad that there is a conversation happening about this and about these, how these behaviors are not helping us and are not making anything better. I mean, that I'm grateful for. How it's happening, I have some critiques around.
So I had a thought where we're talking about this is, you know, how do we regulate the internet? How do we do, like, a lot of what we've lost in this society, like, is the rigid following of religious rules that a lot of them are garbage, for sure. But some of them do make sense. Like Ramadan, the fasting, like, take a break, get it out of your system. You know, let's replenish, fast, just refraining from overindulgence. Like this America specifically, like, it is easy to overindulge in everything.
That's it for today's free sample. There's lots more of that particular episode, as well as there being dozens of past bonus episodes that you get access to in your feed the minute you sign up as a new member. Paying members are who make this entire show possible, and so these bonus episodes are a fun way to say thanks to them for their support. In addition to those full bonus episodes, members also get bonus clips in every single regular episode, as well as there being no ads in the regular show. If you would like to be our newest member, you can sign up at bestofleft.com/support. You can use our Patreon page, or you can do it from right inside the Apple Podcast app, and links to get there are right in our show notes. And if you can't afford membership, I offer free financial hardship memberships. Just drop me an email to j@bestofleft.com and we will get you set up, no questions asked. Or again, to sign up and support the show and our ability to give away free financial hardship memberships, visit us at bestofleft.com/support. Thanks for listening.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.